This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
That's Steppenwolf for all you young people that don't know shit about music. Joining me, speaking of not knowing shit, is the All Marine Radio head chef joins me. He's in a car headed for the Bemidji Airport, yes?
That's right.
Bemidji.
That's right.
Bemidji is in northwest, generally northwest Minnesota, and it's more towards the central part of the state. The chef has been hanging out with some buddies. What have you guys been doing all week?
Just debauchery.
You can't do debauchery like you used to. What is that? You have to do like,
I hang in pretty well, but I am usually the first to bow down to the other two.
That's not
RJ is Bob is still the king.
Right. So what about did you get instructions from Miss Beth before you left?
She knew better this time.
Oh.
All she could say was be careful and have a good time.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. And I called her when I got here and I'll call her after I get off the air.
There you go. What time? Now, introduce your friend to everybody.
My friend, everybody, this is Michael Monaco. We met in Switzerland. We ran out of money together, and we both had to get jobs in 1970. And we've been running together ever since. And he has had a bakery in Leavenworth, Washington. And now he has just a little wine and gift shop, doesn't bake anymore, but Mook's, when he built his new house, he put a wood-fired pizza oven inside the kitchen. Yeah. And, so he still keeps his fingers in the dough, so to speak.
Well said. Now, where does Michael do all this?
I do it in Leavenworth, Washington. We're about 120 miles northeast of Seattle, on the east side of the Cascade Mountains.
You know, I have family in Wenatchee, Washington, which is very close.
Okay.
So how
very
did,
close, 25, 30 miles.
How did you wind up there? And is there any relation to Kim when he was at, where were you at? The Blue Park.
Townsend. I was in Leavenworth first. I helped Michael open his first bakery in Leavenworth.
No shit.
And, Michael,
where are you from originally?
Grew up in Rochester, New York.
Oh, well then. Of course. Leavenworth, Washington would be a natural place for you to go then.
You know, when you're young, you're moving around a lot. It's funny where you end up, but it was a good choice for sure. The Northwest is a great part of our country.
No, it's beautiful, beautiful country up there.
Yeah.
In central Washington. What? So how did you wind up getting there? Did you go see Kim and stay, or was
well,
it
my wife? My wife and I were traveling around. Kim was in Montana at the time. We went and visited Kim, and my wife is Canadian, so I immigrated to Canada at one point and was baking up in on Vancouver Island in Victoria.
Right.
And then that didn't work out well. I mean, it was fine, but it was a very expensive for us to hard to get started there. And we had a friend in Wenatchee, actually, and that's how I got introduced to Eastern Washington. And he went down and visited them, and anyway, it's 42 years ago. I've been there ever since.
Wow. Wow. So you guys, let me ask you about making the transition from hippies to senior citizens. Is that a smooth transition? How, right? Because you guys are like the flower children. And so, you know, you guys are, you know, getting your own spots in the Smithsonian and things like that as flower children. How is, what's the migration like from flower child to senior citizen? How's that going?
It's going great because not a fucking thing has changed. You know, it's just we're older, doing the same shit. we've always been working, and I helped Luke's open this bakery, and the baking business wasn't for me. Rolled all the pastry dough out by hand and everything from scratch. Always did. And so we got through that first Oktoberfest in Leavenworth, and I can't do this. I still had a key to the bakery, and because you go in at midnight, 6 a.m., just different hours, and I'd go in after the bars closed and have a few cookies and then go home to my place. And then one day his wife, Nancy, said, "Give me your fucking keys." So I gave her the keys. He said, "Here you are, cookies. You can't do this anymore. You got to pay for them."
Yeah, no kidding.
So I started a little deli next door to them. And then Mooks baked all my breads for my sandwiches and stuff. And we've been pals, real good pals, ever since that time we met in Switzerland.
Let's talk about baking then and owning a bakery. It seems, Mooks, that more supermarkets now have all these specialized bakery goods as they try to compete. Every supermarket you go to, they just don't have, you know, Wonder Bread and Oro Wheat and all those brands. They now have very boutique bakery goods. How do you stay in business as a baker these days?
Staying small is good too, you know. Fortunately, I was in a town. It's a German themed town. I don't know if you ever hear of Leavenworth, Washington. But
yeah.
It's a German village, so I felt like that I had something to give there. And working in the German part of Switzerland for 5+ years in the bakery, so it was kind of fun. I enjoyed it.
So let me go back. So one of the secrets is staying small, having small overhead, so you can stay in business, because that's not an easy business.
No, it's not. You're right. It's definitely a hard one, but I think that's what people are. I see it more and more now. Going back to the smaller type of you know, not the big in-store bakeries like you see, like you say, in the grocery stores and whatnot.
Right.
Artisan bakeries, or something like that, along that line.
Well, Kim and I were talking about small footprint businesses when we were talking about the number of sushi restaurants that that seem to inundate the planet. Wherever you go, there's sushi everywhere. And I was asking Kim about that. He said, well, truth be told, you don't need a whole lot to make sushi. You need a grill, you need refrigeration and some storage and a place for people to sit. So you can put it in just about any strip mall where if you have to have a full kitchen and everything that goes with it, can't do that. And he said, so it's interesting, small footprint, and really what you're talking about is low overhead with that small footprint. It's key to a lot of businesses, but interesting. What is your, Moops, what's your specialty in terms of baking?
Mostly breads, and like Jim said, we did all sorts of Danish puff pastry.
All right, let me ask you a bread question then. What my mother has a dish, actually Kim's had it before. It's called steak in a bag. The recipe calls for egg bread. What is significant about egg bread? Why would my mom have used it?
Well, it's a great breakfast bread. We used to make that in Switzerland. It's called the soap for you. Remember that?
Yeah.
We grated it. It had a lot of egg and milk in it. It's very rich.
So it's
good for breakfast, I think. I like breads like that with nice jams, butter and jam.
So it's just a rich, so when you say it's a rich bread, what does that mean? So I've got a slice of Wonder Bread in this hand. I've got a slice of egg bread in this hand. What am I going to notice about the egg bread?
The egg bread will be, has probably butter in it, has eggs in it, milk. That's why I mean it would be richer, more rich than, say, a baguette that is just pretty much flour and water, a bit of salt, and levain. That I would eat bread like that is nice for dinner because it goes with it, you know, cleaning up the sauce or something like that.
Interesting.
But that is rich.
Now, do most bakeries make it? It's relatively hard to find. You don't find it in supermarkets, that's for sure. So when I go looking for it, it's a pain in my ass as I go to these bakeries that say, oh, we don't have it. I'm like, well, aren't you a bakery? Are you legit? And they say,
right.
Of course we're legit. And I say, evidently you're not. I don't want to offend anybody, especially if there's a woman working, right?
Right.
So, because nobody wants to do that. But they don't have it. So is it a unique product? Would most bakeries not make egg bread? Because I will tell you this, it pisses me off. Because I go there at the last second, well, I'll get reminded, did you get egg bread? And I'm like, shit, egg bread, damn it. So now I'm going to the bakery late in the day, and those that have it, like, sorry, we're out, you have to come early. Like, okay, I don't come early, okay? I'm a late guy. Then you get no egg bread. So I don't like that, Mook. So I have to tell you that right now. I do not like that. Is it a specialty item? Or would most bakeries tend to have it?
I don't think it's that specialty. I mean, whatever.
And by the way, Mac, if you call them up the day before and tell you the whole one, an egg bread for you, you can prance in anytime you want and pick it up.
Okay, look, I know a little bit about you guys, so I know now that in most of the nation that marijuana is legal, that you guys aren't afraid to go there. But, Kim, did you not just hear me say, I don't remember it in the morning. I barely remember it in the afternoon after I get reminded. I'm sure as hell not calling the day before, man. Are you not picking up what I'm putting down because of the residual effects of recreational drugs over the years? What's going on, man?
There was never any residual effect. That's how we started our day. That was what we called that. A double espresso, a joint, the breakfast of champions.
what. That is so wrong. For me, the Breakfast of Champions.
In so many ways, man.
I know. It is, no, it's culturally, it is diametrically opposed to how we've rolled on All Marine Radio. Those of us have done that. Breakfast of Champion for me was Mountain Dew and peanut M&Ms. Okay? That's what mine was. All right?
Different kickstart.
There you go. Hold on. I got an email for you guys. Yo, Mac, we're talking bakery. I love bakery. When we talk about baguettes, how do you buy a good baguette? I love it. Heat it up with more butter than anybody could shake a stick at. And if my cardiologist is listening to this, she can shut this off right now and shut her yap, okay? I cannot give up the baguette. So, Mooks, what makes a good baguette? How do you know a good baguette when you see one?
Well, I could tell by looking at it, yeah, but on the other hand, the best way to eat it, try it, see how it tastes.
Yeah, but I can't do that when I'm walking through the supermarket or the bakery. I can't just start chomping on bread and say, yeah, I don't like that, and spit it out on the floor. Like, who made that? Was that the night shift? That sucks. I can't do that. Right. So what do? I have to just sample and then find one, buy a few of them, sample them, and find one I like and stay with it?
It's crunchy, you know. If you can see, I look at the ovens that it's baked in, and I can almost tell if it's going to be good or not. Nice steam and steam on the ovens, European style ovens. They'll make a nice baguette. Kind of one of the things that I would look for in terms of what kind of a bakery it is, what kind of equipment they have. You can tell by looking at it.
Got it. All right, so bottom line, for those of us that are not as steeped as you professionals, we need to just go eat it and then stick with something that tastes good.
I guess, yeah, or unless you know the place, you know, if you've been there before, when you're in a new town, it's always hard for anybody.
Right.
And a lot of times, Mooks and I are used to going into a bakery and seeing the baguettes sitting in a wicker basket. So you grab one, and it's not wrapped in plastic, which breaks down the crust. And you want the crust. That's a big deal with a baguette.
Yes.
So, you know, if you go into a supermarket bakery and it's wrapped in cellophane or plastic wrap, you know that when it might have been a hard crust coming out of the oven, but it's kind of softened up because of the bag it's in. It should be just exposed out in the open, and you can pick it up, and if it has a nice hard crust, then you're in the front row.
Hey, well, let me ask you two bozos about that. It seems to me then if I'm going to sell baguette, I have to accept that some of it's going to go bad and have a plan for it in what I do, because that's most of the baguettes I see are in a kind of a paper bag that's open, long paper bag that's open at one end and might have kind of a cellophane window that runs, you know, the length of the bag or some shit like that. And those loaves sit in a basket. But I'm not going to sell all those, right? Or do I learn about usage and how many I should make simply by doing it? How does that work?
Well, a baguette has no preservatives in it. It's supposed to be meant to be eaten that day. Anything left over, you could make toast, croutons, or breadcrumbs. And that's the progression of how you use a whole baguette.
Got it.
If you don't eat it in one day.
Got it. That makes sense. It's it's the whole circle of life thing.
Yes.
All right. Here's another email question. Mac, I heard a while ago that you love Hostess cupcakes. What would your guests tell you would be an acceptable an acceptable substitute for that piece of culinary garbage? Okay, let me just tell you something, okay? I don't get into your lives and tell you that what you like is garbage. Okay, I take that back. Maybe I do, okay? But the Hostess cupcake? Come on, man. That and some Pepsi and some peanut M&Ms? If you think that's bullshit, then you got raised wrong. Oh, it's so many preservatives and blah, blah, blah. It tastes so fucking good. If I could eat a dozen of them right now, I would. Yeah.
And you can also have open a 6-pack of Hostess cupcakes and never cover them up, and they'll still be as fresh. A week later because of the preservatives. whereas a pastry made by a human being, it doesn't have the preservatives in it, and it's meant to be consumed that day, and
that's bullshit, man. Like, oh, there's no preserves and it dries out in like 12 minutes. Like, come on, man. That's garbage. What about, don't be bagging on Hostess cupcakes, the chocolate ones, okay? You know what? If you want to bag on something, bag on those stupid ass coconut snowballs they used to make. Those things suck. Who in their right mind would eat one of those? Okay, other than fat kids, okay, who eat anything, okay, they're like the human version of a goat. But I never liked those. So if you want to bag on something, bag on that. So, Moogs, the question is for you. Recommend a substitute for the Hostess cupcake. That means it's got to have some. That means it's got to have some serious frosting on it. Okay.
I don't know. I go home and make my own, actually, before I buy anything else.
No.
So
what would you make? Would you make some cupcake and inject some?
I'd make cupcakes. I've done that before. That's not blueberry muffins or the donuts with the jam inside. I like, eclairs. Used to make with buttermilk and,
What is an eclair? I don't like eclairs. I don't like that cold. There's too much custard in the middle of it. I don't like that shit.
Shame on you. Well, a good one could be good for sure. That's a pâté choux, which is a dough with a lot of egg in it and milk. And then it puffs up when you bake it 400 degrees. And then you let them cool, and you slice them and fill them with pastry cream of some sort, you know. We made our own custard cream. We put whipped cream on top of that, and we would dip the top in chocolate, nice melted chocolate. It was delicious. They're real good. They're rich, but they're good.
Ooh. I don't know if I would define the Hostess cupcake as rich. I don't think it's too rich. Kim?
I like the eclair with the dough, like a donut kind of texture, and then stuffed with a filling, like a pastry cream, and then the dipped in chocolate on the top.
Yeah, you gotta
have
that.
I think it's magnificent.
All right. Here's another email. Mac, since we're talking bakery goods today, I'd be curious, what is everybody's favorite donut? Moogs, what's your favorite donut?
I like like Kim was talking about a Berliner. It's a filled, it's a nice filled donut. You fry it, and after it's fried, you inject
some jam in the middle of it and sprinkle a little sugar, roll it with some sugar. It's nice. It's a great thing to have with a cup of coffee in the morning.
All right. Kim?
We did a lot of them in Switzerland.
All right. Kim, what's your favorite donut?
Just a glazed donut. A Krispy Kreme glazed donut right out of the fryer.
Oh, you're a loser.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
No, it's not.
If you've never had a Krispy Kreme donut, it means you're clueless.
Mooks, when you see Krispy Kreme donuts, just like, why not just eat dog food? Seriously. Is that your reaction?
I've had them before, but I'm not big on them myself.
Mooks used to make a beautiful glazed donut. You know, that would be my favorite, but he doesn't bake anymore, so.
Kim, do you ever eat just straight up dog food, or do you just do?
I don't eat donuts anymore.
You don't eat dog food? A friend of mine ate dog food. We were playing ping pong at a party, and there was a big, like, garbage can, like, it was 2/3 full of dry dog food. And so we're playing dog food, and somehow or other, we started discussing the dog food, and he said, I've eaten dog food before. And we're like, what? He said, yeah, I'll eat some of that. No, you won't. And then whenever I wanted somebody to do something or that they had threatened to do, here's my standard line. You don't have the balls to eat a handful of dog food out of that thing. And, right? The truly stupid would respond to that, and he did. He grabbed a handful of dog food, and he shoved it in his mouth, and he was playing ping pong. He was eating the dog food, and, you know, for whatever reason, I like stuff like that. It appeals to me, and at the end of it, he's like, I need a beer. I need something. My mouth is dry as shit, and then as he takes a drink of beer, he swallows the beer, and he says, but you know what? My teeth sure feel sharper.
You've got issues.
No, my friend does. My favorite, I'm always torn when I go to buy donuts. I love maple bars, and I love like chocolate cake bars. I love both of them. So that would be when I go, and the bar is bigger than a donut, okay? All right, nothing inside it. I don't want them cream-filled or anything like that, custard-filled. Occasionally I'll get surprised, and they'll slide one in there, and then I poof, and then I spit it out. Those are my go-to. Maple bars and chocolate bars are my favorite. I will defend Kim. Krispy Kreme, man.
Michael, we're at the airport now.
So?
Can you take a break real quick?
No. Like, how the hell do we take a break? What are you talking about? No, we can't.
Well, because you need to catch a flight.
Do you need to go?
Smart ass.
Do you need to
I'm
go?
I'm out of here. I gotta catch a plane.
Mooks, it's nice meeting you. Thanks for coming on and making us smart
all
about
right.
bakeries. Kim, I'll let you go.
Great talking to you, man.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right, boys.
Cheers. Have fun.
Yeah, all right. See you guys.
Is that it?
Well, are you going to stay in the car? Or are you getting out and going to hug and kiss and stuff like
I'm
that?
I'm getting out. I'm going to give him a hug. And I'm back in the car.
Okay, I will take a break, and then you say goodbye to Mooks, and then we'll be back.
All right, thank you.
There you have it.
Mortgage Minute.
The Chef. All right, so we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday morning, Mike McNamara with you, and rejoining me is my hetero life partner, Kim Holmes. Hello?
Good morning!
Well, hey, did you ever go see the movie Operation Finale?
No, I haven't yet. I've been so busy.
But yes, I want to see that where they get Eichmann.
Yeah.
They track that piece of shit down, yeah.
Yeah, the, really where the Mossad got on everybody's map. When they pulled that one off, and then, you know, the media much different than it was. I mean, I think, the most prominent picture that I've ever seen of Adolf Eichmann is on the cover of Time magazine, which would have been the equivalent of blowing up all, you know, of being on wall to wall on all cable, news outlets for about a week. So Time magazine back in the day was what made you, infamous, if you will. So kind of interesting. All right. So you have not seen that. What have, anything that you've seen that is worth note? It sounds like the answer to that is no.
Well, no, I have. I just, after the last 4 days, I can't remember much. Jesus.
Okay, we're not going to sit here and wait until you can recall it in 2 weeks. Okay, so there's been no movie that has touched your life in any significant way. Okay, I've got a couple questions for you. Good morning, Mac. Ask the party boys what is their favorite pastry out of a scone, coffee cakes, sticky bun, bear claw, or morning bun. I choose a good coffee cake anytime. All right, so here are your choices. Scone. What's a scone? I don't even know what that is.
A scone is like not a cakey. They make it like triangles, and they have different types of fruit, like currants or raisins or blueberry scones or raspberry scones. It's it would be the equivalent. The dough would be the equivalent of a biscuit, but it's a little denser than a biscuit, and you eat it with, when they're hot, with butter and jam, or just butter, but that, to find a good scone, Beth used to bake scones that were orange scones, and it had orange rind in it and a little orange juice from a fresh orange, and they were killer. You give me a coffee cake and I'm in the front row.
Okay, so what's a coffee? What is a coffee cake?
That's what it is. It's got cinnamon. And it can have some raisins in it or nuts. The caramel roll is good, too. It depends on the caramel roll. Most people make caramel rolls, and they make them big suckers. But there's not enough cinnamon and sugar and the syrup in there. The brown sugar and butter you put in there, and then you flip the whole tin over, and they pop out, some of them have pecans, and you put them in the bottom.
Okay, so it's essentially, my mom Kathleen was big on coffee cakes. It's in a cake pan, and she would have cinnamon in it. What else would she put in it? A lot of cinnamon.
Brown sugar, a lot of brown sugar.
A lot of brown sugar.
A lot of cinnamon and nutmeg.
Yeah, I did not like anything that did not have, like, the cinnamon and brown sugar on it. Like, there's parts that were just cakey. She was big on having, like, cinnamon apples in it, too.
Yes. Yeah. And you saute those up. So they get a little sugar. You saute them in sugar and butter to soften them, and then you put them in your cake batter, and put them in a 9 by 13 pan.
Right. There you coffee cake. Okay, talk to me about what's a sticky bun?
It's a cinnamon bun. We okay. used to call them sticky buns. But it's a cinnamon roll.
Okay, how do you make one of those? How do you make one of those things that pulls apart? It's kind of a, like a bundt cake looking thing, but it pulls apart. My mom used to make those. How do you make it? How do you make it so it's like pulls apart easy?
You mean like a cinnamon roll?
Well, it's more kind of like a bundt cake, but it pulls apart. You know what I mean? It's got cinnamon all over it, and.
Well, that's exactly what it is a bundt cake. You can put fillings in bun cakes. You know, that's that baking pan that's just circular.
Right.
And
how do you get it? To, how do you, what do you do to it to get it to pull apart? Or is that me just being crazy?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
All right. What is a bear claw?
A bear claw is puff pastry that has been rolled with cinnamon. Pecans or walnuts, and it's a long, flat, rolls out, similar to a cinnamon roll,
okay.
But it's flat, and then they put butter and sugar glaze on it, and then they cut little knife slices in one side of it, so when it bakes, it curls. And it exposes the inside of the roll, except it's flat. And that is a bear claw. And they are exceptionally good.
You
know, it has a white icing on it when you take it out of the oven. And that sets up and, you know, you got this kind of semi-soft, cover on it. And, that's a bear claw.
You know what? I don't know. What's the name of the company that puts them in a supermarket? I could eat those forever. Okay?
Hostess?
No, it's like Matterhorn or I can't remember the name of who makes the bear claws, but I could eat those.
You know who makes a good bear claw is Panera. And that's where we get our bear claws in Grand Forks.
Who?
It's a chain. And they do bagels, baguettes, all kinds of rye bread, white bread, egg bread. They're the most consistent, most like a regular bakery. And they do soup and sandwiches and lunch items, things like that. But they're baking. Their bear claws are very good, and Beth loves those, and in fact, she does love them.
Okay, so out of what's a morning bun?
A morning bun?
Yeah. Keep it clean. Keep it clean.
Morning bun is probably just like something similar to a dinner roll, but has sugar and maybe dried fruit or raisins or something like that, or cranberries in it. And that's something that, you know, you want to eat warm with butter on it. But a morning bun would be a sweet bun.
Got it.
Like similar in looks to a dinner roll.
Got it. Okay. Out of all that bakery deliciousness, what would be your favorite?
Well, it would probably be the bear claw.
Yeah, because it has the most frosting and good stuff on it, huh?
And it's got the cinnamon brown sugar like you like too.
Yeah.
On the inside, and there's, you know, sometimes when you bite into a cinnamon roll, you just get the roll. You might get a little hint of the brown sugar. You know how it's in a swirl?
Yeah.
A cinnamon roll?
Yes.
And the heart of the artichoke, the center, is the best bite. And you got to work at it to get to that.
Right.
With a bear claw, every bite has some kind of sweetness, deliciousness in it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like...
And for me, I get more for my money with a bear claw than I would a cinnamon roll.
There you have it. You know, why do I eat potato chips? For the salt, okay? And they hold dip, okay? That is why I eat potato chips, okay? So
That's my wife's rack.
Yeah.
They hold a dip.
Yeah, that's it.
Salsa.
That's it. Salsa, guacamole, they're just scoopers, man. Yep. That's why they exist. All right. All right, sir. I will let you go. Drive safely, and thank you for introducing us to MOOCs.
Well, we've been pals for a lot of years. Bob and MOOCs and I have been friends for that long. And it's been probably 10 years since we've all three been together. So it was a no-holds-bar mud wrestling experience this last week.
All right. How long is the drive back from Bemidji?
Well, I just dropped moves off in Bemidji, so I'd say it's 2 hours for me left before I'm home. So that'll put me home at 1:30.
Got it.
I'll be home about 1:30.
All right, there, my friend. Drive safely, and I'll talk to you.
I'm looking forward to it, and we'll continue this. And I will go to a movie or two this week, and we can talk soon.
Got it. All right, sir. Have a good one. Thank you.
Have a great weekend. And the baseball playoffs are starting.
That's right. Next week. We got to talk about it. All right, man. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody.
The Allmarine Radio head chef. We'll take a quick break. Gunnar joins us next as we continue on a Friday edition of Allmarine Radio. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on Allmarine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on Allmarine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at AllmarineRadio.com.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue, but it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.